As many of you know, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is considered the incarnation of Srimati Radharani in Krishna's pastimes. So, of course, his mood is a little bit different than that of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is Bam. Bam means left-handed gopi. Left-handed gopi are the ones who are, let us say, unsubmissive sometimes to Krishna, sometimes arguing with Krishna in order to bring out certain aspects of Krishna's pastimes. Anyway, so sometimes Radharani is angry with Krishna, just like there's this nice sarovara or lake in Vrindavan called the Manasarovara, which is the angry lake, where Radharani goes to be angry, and Krishna goes and tries to pacify her by begging at her lotus feet and crying his own tears to beg for forgiveness. Anyway, this is a very interesting pastime. So, Srimati Radharani appears in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes as Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, but, and there's a big but, as Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, he doesn't exhibit the left-handed aspect of Radharani's mood. In other words, he's submissive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He never argues with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He never talks back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, his mood is more similar to the mood of Rukmini or Chandravali. Chandravali, of course, is very submissive to Krishna. She may get angry, but she doesn't say anything. And also Rukmini, we see in Krishna's pastimes that Krishna tried to aggravate her. Krishna gets great joy in aggravating his associates sometimes. Just like you see, a perverted reflection of that is in children. Children take great joy sometimes in aggravating their parents, isn't it? That's their pastime or fun thing they do when they're real young. And the more that the parents get aggravated, the more the children do rascally things to aggravate them. The parents don't realize that sometimes. So, but now Rukmini could not be aggravated by Krishna. She simply took what Krishna, or bore what Krishna was saying. Of course, Krishna was saying so many things like, you should get remarried, you're still young, even though she was a grandmother. And you should have married that Sushupal, why'd you happen to marry me? And Rukmini just fainted instead of arguing with Krishna. Whereas Radharani, or Satyabhama, who is the appearance of Radharani in Krishna's Dwarka pastimes, would have argued with Krishna, would have given him a hard time. Krishna likes that arguing. Anyway, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was, I would say, more in the mood of Rukmini, more in the mood of Chandravali, even though he's considered an incarnation of Radharani, in that he never argued with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, very interesting. So, sometimes it's described by some of the acharyas that because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Radharani, therefore he sort of, the expression is used, he stole the bhava. Bhava means emotion or mood. So he stole that particular bam mood or that left-handed mood. He left her or left Gadadhar Pandit Goswami in a submissive mood, okay? Because he had the unsubmissive mood. Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was young, was very unsubmissive. I mean, his relationship to his mother, especially after his father passed away, was, let us say, radical. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time asked for some ingredients for worshiping the Ganges, and his mother said, just wait a few minutes, we will bring those ingredients. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded, wait a few minutes, I want them right now. And he proceeded to destroy basically everything within his house. He took all the ingredients, all the spices and foodstuffs and grains and threw them to the ground, broke all the containers. And his mother was just like, you know, shaking and fear. And she said, don't you understand all these things actually belong to you? How could you do this? And then what he did is he came back from the Ganges in a few hours later, and he came back with some gold. anyway, to replace the things that he had broken. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very frolicsome, very, let us say, very rascally in his pastimes. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had that sort of aspect taken from him by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Do you understand? Very, very interesting. Anyway. And also in the later pastimes, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, he was also exhibiting the mood of Srimati Radharani. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had those particular aspects manifested by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he didn't manifest them himself. Very, very important ontological position. So let's speak a little bit about the pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was a classmate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. In other words, he was a contemporary. Contemporary means he was more or less the same age. Whereas others like Srivastava Thakur was much older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srivastava Thakur was actually present shortly. He was present at the birth, not right in the birth room, but anyway. But he was present at the same time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, and they both Srivastava Thakur and his wife Malini worshipped Sachi Devi, the mother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whereas Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was actually a contemporary, you know, classmate. And as described here, his mother's name was Ratnavati, and his father's name was Madhava Mishra. And Ratnavati was like a great friend with Sachi Devi, so they were very, very close. So Gadadhar Pandit technically was a year younger, but he's a contemporary. And Gadadhar Pandit could never leave the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they were little tiny boys. You know, when they were like 4 or 5 years old, they would just always hang out together. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is also sometimes called Gadadhar Prananath. That means the life and soul of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. This is very wonderful. And actually, this is the relationship we should all have to our Ishtadeva. Ishtadevata, that means our worshipful deity. We all have a particular, let's say, manifestation of the Supreme Personality of God that is our focus, or the focus of our love and attention. Everybody, a little bit different. Some people have Krishna as the coward boy in Vrindavan. Other people have Krishna as the prince in Dwarka. Other people have Lord Nrsingadev. Other people have Lord Ramchandra. Other people have one of Lord Ramchandra's devotees, like Hanuman. But we all have a focal point in our devotional service, so it's important to figure out what that focal point is. And that mood, or the mood we should have in relationship with that focal point, is that that focal point should actually be our life and soul. You understand? That should be your life and soul. Otherwise, you'll be looking for some life and soul within this material world. What does that mean? That means you're going to be looking for some society, friendship, and love in the material world. You're going to be looking for someone to fulfill your needs, which won't be fulfilled anyway. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, your needs can't be fulfilled through material relationships. It just doesn't happen. And I just like, oh, I don't know if I should recite this. But anyway, I'll mention. Just like I was reading in CNN, you know, yesterday that the women sometimes are getting so disturbed or their needs aren't being fulfilled in relationships with men. So sometimes they have relationships with women, or they switch back and forth because their needs are not being fulfilled. That's a fact. Actually, if we approach relationships, and of course we do have relationships in this world, but if we approach relationships in a way that we're demanding, maybe not verbally demanding, but psychologically or intentionally demanding that someone fulfill our needs, those needs don't get fulfilled. That's a catch-22. We think, oh, I need this person to fulfill my needs. Doesn't work. But if we approach a relationship with Lord Chaitanya, thinking this will fulfill all my needs, it will fulfill all your needs. Of course, the point is to serve Lord Chaitanya. not to think that Lord Chaitanya's business is simply to fulfill your needs. Anyway, so Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had a lot of association with Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri actually stayed at the house of Gopinathacharya when he was... This is before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwarapuri. He stayed at the house of Gopinathacharya. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami would go over there all the time and take association with Ishwarapuri. He didn't take initiation from Ishwarapuri. We'll describe who he took initiation from in a second. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, as we mentioned before, was a very, very serious and self-controlled little boy. You know, just like an ideal child. This is your concept. Everybody's concept of an ideal child is a child who keeps quiet, who's serious, isn't it? What a nice little boy. And then if you have a little boy who's like Lord Chaitanya, who's fickle, unsteady, whimsical, frolicsome, tricky, rascally, you'll think, oh, what a problem. You know, you call your child like Ivan the Terrible or something like that. So, but anyway, Prabhupada did say that if a child is very rascally, that's a sign of what? Intelligence. That's a sign of good intelligence. So we should be very happy if our children are rascals. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya would all the time be disturbing Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, or Gadadhar Pandit at that time, who was with his whimsical questions and, you know, juggling words, sophistry. Sophistry means basically that you're just like juggling words to prove any point. You know, you can prove a point and then disprove a point and then disprove your disproval of the point and disprove your disproval of the disproval of the point. That's sophistry. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do that. And he really disturbed the mind of Gadadhar Pandit because he was just trying to concentrate on his schoolwork. And so Gadadhar Pandit Goswami thought, or Gadadhar Pandit, he thought, just let me keep a little distance from this personality. You know, just like he's too disturbing to the mind. But he couldn't. It was like a chutney. You know, like Prabhupada said, a chutney should be too sweet to resist and too hot to eat. So that's a chutney. Of course, they don't make chutneys like that anymore, isn't it? Most ISKCON chutneys now are just like bland, blah. You know, if you have the Sunday feast, you take a chutney, isn't it? Or you make a chutney, it's just like, meh. But I remember in the early, isn't it like, oh, here's some coconut chutney, all right. Peanut butter chutney, all right. But we used to make tomato chutney. When we would put so much red peppers in it. Did you ever see this?
Yeah.
In the early days. So much red peppers in the tomato chutney that you put a little bit on your tongue and it would just... and so much sugar in the tomato chutney, it was just like shiny. So that's it. So that was Prabhupada's instruction about a chutney, but nobody follows that nowadays. Nowadays they make chutneys like sweets or something like that. So, but that's a chutney. Anyway, so the relationship between Gadadhar Pandit Goswami and Lord Chaitanya was like a chutney, something like that. But then Gadadhar Pandit Goswami couldn't keep away from him, and he wanted to keep away from him, you know, just like a conflict there. You know, I got to keep away from this guy, but I can't. He's just too attractive. And then Gadadhar Pandit Goswami wanted to be, you know, meditate on Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya would just be engaged in sophistry and argue with him. You know, what is this Krishna you're meditating on? You know, he wouldn't preach impersonalism, but he'd just engage in sophistry, juggling words. And one day he said to Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, he said, very soon I shall become such a great Vaishnava that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva will come down to worship me. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, when he heard this, he thought, this guy's really, really out to lunch, you know. He's really proud. This is Nimai. So what happened shortly after that, during this particular time, is that Gadadhar Pandit, due to his friendship with another devotee named Mukundadat, who was a great singer, was brought by Mukundadat to see this personality named Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who is considered an incarnation of Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu, of course, is the father of Srimati Radharani. So Pundarik Vidyaniti looked like a great materialist. He was seated on an opulent bedstead. He was chewing betel leaves, and his lips were reddish from the betel leaves. And his hair was nicely combed, like they do in India. It's really interesting what they do in India. When they comb the hair, they put oil in the hair. Is it coconut oil or something like that?
Yeah.
Coconut oil. So I know when I'm in India, you know, I pat a little kid on the head. I go, yuck. I look at my hand. The hand gets all oily. In America, it's not a problem. You just go pat, pat. But in India, you go pat and go, ew. What's that on my hand? Isn't the hand feels all icky? So anyway, so, but they do that with the children, isn't they? Put oil in their hair. So anyway, so Pundarik Vidyaniti had oil in his hair. It was like slick back like that, you know, like long hair, you know, slick back. Like in India, everyone has black hair. So it's like black hair. You can imagine the scenario of black hair, slick back like a gentleman like that. And I'm sure he had earrings on and everything like that, seated in an opulent bedstead. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was wondering, he said, you know, this guy's a dapper gentleman. He's not a Vaishnava, because a Vaishnava is supposed to be, you know, renounced. Most of the Vaishnavas I know, like Ishwara Puri, he was thinking, you know, they just travel in these very small dhotis, bharivas, you know, the external garments. You know, dhotis actually, they just come basically to above the knees. So they travel like that, and they just have a little water pot. And here's this guy, you know, who looks like, you know, he looks like a multimillionaire here, or a crorepati, as they say in India, right? Crorepati. So he's a Vaishnava. Why does he look like a materialist? Because a Vaishnava is supposed to be Vairagya Vidya. Anyway, so Mukunda Dat, this is very interesting, this part of the story here. Mukunda Dat understood the mentality of Gadadhar Pandit. And, of course, previously, anyway, we won't tell that. But Mukunda Dat understood the mentality, and he began to sing about the pastimes of Krishna. There's a very nice explanation of how opulent the bedstead of Pundarik Vidyaniti was. He said his beautiful bed was made of wood, covered with intricate brass and a reddish stone inlay work. Above that were three tiers, means three levels, of ornamental hangings, three, made of glittering brocade strips, that means just very beautiful, shiny. He was seated on a soft mattress covered with a clean, expensive sheets, and silk pillows were placed under his back. On either side of him, many large, small and large water pots sat within his reach, as well as a nice, shining brass plate with betel pan neatly prepared on it. Two ornate mirrors hung on either side of him, which he continually glanced into while smiling with lips reddened from chewing pan. Where are you going? What? The microphone's on already. Just cool it. Uh-oh, now we're going to be in trouble. Every time she goes in the room, it's trouble. So, anyway, so you get the idea. He was looking in the mirror. Can't you hear? Just come out of there. You can hear. It's up high enough. Okay, so he was looking in the mirror at himself, just like you see sometimes a lady. The ladies love mirrors, isn't it? He was looking in the mirror like this. Two mirrors on either side, and smiling. Shh. Oh, my God. He had sandalwood paste, tilak mark on his forehead, not just ordinary gopichana, but sandalwood. That's pretty opulent. And his face was decorated with dots, you know, like gopi dots, made with a mixture of sandalwood and perfume. And it's described here, his hair was well-groomed and shining with delicately perfumed hair oil. Two persons stood beside him, fanning him gently with long peacock feathers. And in front of him was a nicely prepared hammock. He looked like Cupid himself. He looked like a prince. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was thinking, what sort of Vaishnava is he, surrounded by so much finery and lavish living? First I heard about him, and then I had respect for him, but now, on seeing him, my respect is slowly giving way to doubt and suspicion. So Mukunda Das understood exactly what was going on. So he began to sing a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam describing the glories of devotional service. Actually, he was describing Krishna's mercy. He was describing, alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of a mother to the she-demon Putana? So this is just an amazing story, actually, how Krishna accepted her devotion, but didn't accept her envious attitude towards him. She wanted to kill him, of course. And actually, in her previous life, she was Bali Maharaj's sister, who fell in love and wanted to be the mother of Krishna, or Lord Vamanadeva at that particular time. But then as soon as Lord Vamanadeva pulled his tricks and he took everything from Bali Maharaj, she thought, I may be his mother in the future, but I want to kill him. So that's why she took birth as Putana. Anyway, so as soon as Pundarik Vidyaniti heard these words coming from the transcendental lips of Mukunda Das, because Mukunda Das was such a wonderful singer, then he began to cry, it's described. All the symptoms, all the bhavas manifested in his body, like tears coming from his eyes, like torrents of rain. They just spurted out at everybody, like that. And then all the hair stood on end, all this beautiful combed hair went like that. And he began to roll on the ground. And he just kicked everything apart. The brass pots of water just were scattered all over the place. The container of betel pond scattered. All the pillows, bed sheets, and everything became just like a big mess. He began tearing apart his clothes. Like that. Such symptoms of ecstasy. This is called Vyabhichari Bhava. That means uncontrolled ecstasy. And his hair became, it's described, went haywire as he wept and rolled in the dust. He cried out, "Oh Krishna, my Lord, my life, my soul, you have made me hard-hearted like a stone." And he was exhibiting symptoms of transcendental separation. He said, "I've been deprived of the Lord's association, his most merciful incarnation." And then he rolled around and around and around, kicked everything. And all of his disciples were wondering, what's happening with Gurudev here? It described he was surrounded also by disciples. The disciples are just, oh my God, Gurudev is good. Something's happening. And then he became unconscious. So this went on for some time. And so Gadadhar Pandit Goswami at that time began to worry. Because he understood that to commit an offense, even one's mind against the Vaishnava, is very dangerous. So he went to Mukunda and he said, "Mukunda, you have acted like a friend and showed me this pure devotee. But I've actually made a big mistake. When I saw all this luxurious paraphernalia of Pundarik Vidyaniti, I actually committed an offense in my mind, and I thought that he's just a materialist, he's not a devotee. So what should I do? Please help me." So therefore, and he began to think about it for a while, he said, actually, to mitigate this offense, I should take shelter of Pundarik Vidyaniti and take initiation from him and follow devotional service under his guidance. Of course, Mukunda Das was very pleased to hear this, and so Pundarik Vidyaniti remained in that comatose situation for 6 hours. That's ecstasy. Not that just like you think of something for a second, oh, this is nice. Go over on, oh, it's nice. And then you go back to your electronic gadgets. So, like me, you know, just like, oh, go over on, so nice. Okay. Like that. But for 6 hours, they couldn't wake him up. And gradually returned to his normal state. And Giridhara Pandit Goswami was so, they were sitting there the whole time, and he was just so absorbed in the transcendental ecstasy of seeing his future guru in ecstasy. Giridhara Pandit Goswami began to cry. And when Pundarik Vijayaniti saw Giridhara Pandit crying, he embraced Giridhara Pandit Goswami and held him to his heart. What a relationship there. So then Mukundadat revealed Giridhara Pandit Goswami's mind. He said, this personality had some doubt in you when he saw all this stuff that you were surrounded by, but now he's repentant and he wants to accept initiation from you. And then he began to describe what family Giridhara Pandit Goswami came in and how he was a great devotee. And then Pundarik Vijayaniti said, by the Lord's mercy, I've had the great fortune to meet a person who is like a precious gem. The result of many lifetimes of pious activities is that one may find a disciple such as him. Wow. So, of course, the relationship between Pundarik Vijayaniti, who is Vrishabhanu, and Giridhara Pandit Goswami, who is Radharani, is an eternal relationship, obviously. He's eternally the father of Radharani. So, therefore, on an auspicious day, Giridhara Pandit Goswami took initiation. It's a wonderful pastime of his initiation. And, all right, let's go on and tell some more pastimes. So here's some more pastimes. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwarapuri and Gaya, he began to manifest all the symptoms of Krishna Prema. So Giridhara Pandit Goswami was naturally happy to see this. He said, finally, Nimai has come to his senses. Thank God. So previously he was just like, stay away from this guy. You know, I like him, but you know, he's a troublemaker. Now he's saying, thank God, thank Krishna. So Giridhara Pandit Goswami at that time really couldn't stay away from the Lord. I mean, always stayed with the Lord and didn't even leave him, it's described, even for an hour. So one time, Giridhara Pandit Goswami was bringing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu some tambula. And when he arrived, Lord Chaitanya was absorbed in the mood of separation from Krishna. And this is very intense for a Vaishnava. So Lord Chaitanya was saying, where, Giridhara, where is Shyamasundara? Where is the Lord of Vrindavan who is dressed in a yellow cloth? And then saying this, Lord Chaitanya began to cry again and again, and Giridhara Pandit Goswami assured him that Krishna is in your heart. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking that literally, of course it is literal, but Lord Chaitanya began to tear at his chest, and Giridhara Pandit Goswami immediately grabbed Lord Chaitanya's hands like this, stop. And Lord Chaitanya said, let go of my hands, let go of my hands. If I cannot see Krishna, I will die immediately. This should be the intense mood that a devotee has. And Giridhara Pandit Goswami assured him, just be patient. Krishna will reveal himself to you very shortly. He will come here before very long. And Sachimata saw the whole thing and she thought, boy, Giridhara, thank God for Giridhara. This boy is very, very intelligent. You should always stay by Lord Chaitanya's side, or by Nimai's side at that particular time. Let's see, so that's one story. So once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya, another story is, in the house of Suklambara Brahmachari, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the trance of ecstasy. And Giridhara Pandit Goswami was there, and Giridhara Pandit Goswami began to weep again and again and again. And hearing these tears, or the weeping of Giridhara Pandit, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Who is that within this house who is weeping?" And Shuklambara Brahmachari said, "It is your Gadadhar." And Lord Chaitanya said, in an intense mood of humility, "Gadadhar, you most unfortunate, from your early childhood you have been a determined devotee of Krishna. My birth was useless. Because of all my sinful karma, I could not attain Krishna." Saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was the chief assistant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip. And so when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left at Navadvip and went to Jagannath Puri and performed his sannyas lila, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami followed him and went to Jagannath Puri. So there, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami engaged himself in service of the Totu Gopinath deity. And that's a very beautiful temple right in Jagannath Puri, right near the beach, actually. And in that temple, you find the deity sitting down. Very unusual to see Krishna sitting down. I mean, sometimes you'll see Krishna's Ladu Gopal crawling, but you won't find Krishna sitting down and playing the flute. Very unusual. And so the reason is, for that deity sitting down is that the deity originally was standing up, but when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami got old and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami could no longer stand up to dress the deities or take care of the deities, because the deity is quite large, quite a large deity, I mean, very, very big deity, then the deity sat down so Gadadhar Pandit Goswami could take care of him. Later on, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into this deity. And there's actually a golden streak on the deity. The Pujari will show you if you give him a donation. That's standard in India. There's a golden streak on the deity. And also Gadadhar Pandit Goswami went into the deity room and he disappeared too. This is how both of them disappeared into the deity room of Tota Gopinath. So anyway, so in Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami took the vow of Kshetra Sannyas. That means to stay in one place and serve the deities. And Prabhupada said that's the preferable vow of sannyas in the Kali Yuga. Unless one is actually able to travel around and preach Krishna consciousness, otherwise to remain in a holy place with one's family. Of course, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami never had a family, but to stay in a holy place and serve is the preferable manifestation of the sannyas ashram, Kshetra Sannyas. Anyway, so Gadadhar Pandit Goswami in Jagannath Puri would teach Srimad Bhagavatam class every day, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit there to hear Bhagavatam class from him. It's also described that when they would read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, they would be crying such tears of ecstasy that the Srimad Bhagavatam they were reading from became illegible. In other words, the tears washed away the print in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And later on, when Srinivasa Acharya went there to learn Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, then what happened is that the Srimad Bhagavatam was illegible. They were unable to read it. So he had to go back and try to get another copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but by that time everybody had left this world in Jagannath Puri. Anyway, so let's see, there's another story. Oh, yeah. Here's a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Gauragana Dashtipika. It's very interesting. That is, he's simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Devi. Of course, Lalita Devi, very interesting, she also has a very fiery temperament. She actually reflects Radharani's anger at Krishna. When Krishna gets angry, then, when Radharani gets angry at Krishna, Lalita Devi just actually reflects it and manifests it in relationship with Krishna. You know, takes a stick out and threatens to beat Krishna. Whereas Vishakha Devi, is more interested in empathic communication. She actually tries to, you know, bring them both together at that time. She just goes from one to the other, like as a mediator. And she says, you know, Krishna, actually, if you do this, you know, Radharani will be pleased with you. You know, just you come back, you know, I'm on your side. That's Vishakha. Whereas Lalita doesn't do that stuff. She says, get the hell out of here, Krishna. But Vishakha's just going back and forth. She's actually the original mediator. Anyway, so Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Devi. Anyway, so we don't have time to tell the story, but Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, very quickly, wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya left Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya forbade him to go, but Gadadhar Pandit Goswami also followed him, and he was so determined to follow Lord Chaitanya that when Lord Chaitanya said, what about your vow of Kshetra Sannyas, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami said, let my vow of Kshetra Sannyas go to hell, because he was so attached to Lord Chaitanya. But eventually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him back. But before that, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami said, one renders service to Gopinath a million times by seeing your lotus feet. It says, no one can understand, this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the loving intimacy between Gadadhar Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit gave up his vow of service to Gopinath just as one gives up a piece of straw. Okay? And that story is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 16, if one wants to read that particular story. Okay? And also from the Chaitanya Bhagwat, the Madhya Lila, chapter 7, there are stories about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So now we have to end. So today is the glorious appearance or celebration of the appearance of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So time to greet the deities. What's that? Yeah. That comes through natural attraction, yeah. We have our worshipable deity. Like some people, the worshipable deity is Lord Ramchandra. Others is Krishna and Vrindavan. Others is, of course, Radha and Krishna specifically, or they may be focused on the service of Radharani. Like some of the Manjari gopis, they're serving Radharani. And, of course, the Lalita and Vishakha. Of course, we can't become Lalita and Vishakha, but we can serve them. Then they're also serving Radharani as their primary focus. You understand? So that, anyway, if a devotee finds that out, then they can focus their whole life on developing a service attitude towards their worshipful deity. Otherwise, unless you do that, you're going to be looking for some